Our reading this morning comes from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting at verse 13. It will be on the screen, but if you'd like to look it up in your church Bibles, it's page 1190. Paul writes, "But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So we look forward now to hearing what Dave and Caroline are going to say to us. But let's pray for them before they get up and speak. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing Dave and Caroline among us this morning. Thank you for the work that they do and their ministry. And Lord, we pray now that the words you have given them will speak to our hearts and minds, to teach us more about the work of your church, not just locally, but across the world. Lord, open our ears to hear, our minds to receive, and our hearts to respond. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Is it on this end?
So apparently it should be okay. Oh, there we go. Okay. Good morning. First, a greeting from a fellow church in PNG, Papua New Guinea. It's been an amazing adventure for us. Those of you that do know us, I was wrong. We were here in April, so not quite that long ago. I think the poor couple who come from Salisbury were a little bit upset because they thought they were going to be the furthest, but we beat them by a little bit. So for those of you that don't know us, we worshipped here going back 20, 23 years. Our children were dedicated here, and the children's godparents are here, and it's lovely to be back. We came and shared 2 years ago. They only let us out of the country every 2 years. I think they feel that if we come home too often, we'll get too comfortable and not want to go back. And we've been really challenged. PNG is an interesting place. And we live in the picture here, in the middle of what's called Mount Hagen. Mount Hagen is in the highlands of Papua New Guinea, so we live about a mile high, which is a bit different to here. It's quite tiring, actually, but it's been a challenge. There are over 800 different tribes in Papua New Guinea, and for us it's been quite a challenge as to what church is. Because we go from here with a very preconceived idea as what our church is. And you get out there and there's these 800 tribes and they're all slightly different. And then we've got 12 or 13 different expat nationalities as well. But really, MAF, or Mission Aviation Fellowship, is there to see people's lives change through the love of Christ. That's what we do. We serve there. We have 10 planes, small planes, as you saw at the beginning, if you were watching the video, taking off and landing into very small airstrips in order to serve local communities. But Mount Hagen itself was actually only founded 70 years ago. And I find that incredible. So many of the tribes have only been found in the last 50, 60 years. We don't think there are any more that haven't been discovered. But it's fascinating that they have gone from stone tools to mobile phones in just two or three generations. And it's been quite a development process for them. And we'll talk today about what we've found trying to learn not so much about church but about kingdom culture in order to establish what we should be looking at from a Christ perspective in the work that we do. I'll just share one story. Our guard on our compound, because sadly we live on gated compounds, but our guard tells a wonderful tale that his grandfather, and this is how short the time scale is, his grandfather saw the first plane go over and rushed into his hut to grab his bow and arrow, thinking if he could get that bird, he'd be able to feed his family for at least a month. But that's the sort of time scale we're talking about, just his grandfather.
So some parts of PNG were developed by the missionaries that went there, other parts by people seeking minerals. So PNG is rich in heavy metals, so there's a lot of mining that goes on. It's got oil, it's got gold, it's got, you know, all the things that you need for your batteries and your mobile phones. So there was two ways the country has developed. One, through people going and exploiting it for money, and the others by the missionaries that, you know, that took the gospel. Our national neighbours, which we've got a picture of here, our national neighbours say that they can tell which part of the country the missionaries went to first, because it's got a different feel. It's more peaceful. The missionaries exported a lot of things they didn't intend to. Denominationalism really fitted into tribal culture. So you have a village over here that had an SDA missionary, Seventh-day Adventist. The whole village is Seventh-day Adventist. Over here there's a village that's Catholic because that's the missionary that got there. We've got Church of England. We've got Baptist Union. So different villages identify now by their missionary. But the Christianity has been put on top of their native animism. For example, my friend has a house Mary, home help, and she identifies as a Christian. Lovely lady. But when her daughter got malaria, she'll bleed her to get the evil spirits out. So Christian, they have a phrase, it's skin deep, skin Christians. So we have spent the last 4 years we've been out there grappling with the ideas of culture. We've got so many different cultures. There's our culture, the culture that we, and that the missionaries took along with them. And then there's their tribal culture. So we thought we'd explore some of this with you in the idea of what is church.
So to put it into context, this is just me and my team. Within my team of 18 guys, I have three expat nationalities, and I have 13 different tribal people. And when we talk tribal, because their tribes have been so isolated across the country, the country is about twice the size of the UK, Papua New Guinea, but only a population of 8.5 million. So they literally live in little tribal groups in the middle of the airstrips you saw at the beginning. We fly into about 200 airstrips, and each of those 200 airstrips feeds 10 or 15 villages that are up to 3 days' walk away from the airstrip. And so they're quite separate. And even within my team, I've got some tribes that are matriarchal, some that are patriarchal. And their whole customs and process of marriage, as they call it, is very different. And of course, we've gone, not just us, but 12 or 13 different expat nationalities out there, as I said. And it's been a real challenge to figure out, you know, what is it we're doing and how do we share that? And so one of the things Caroline and I have really been focusing on is to try and get to a kingdom culture. We felt very early on that we couldn't just take and export church. And I know you're looking at church at the moment, so what we want to do is just share with you how the church is so much more than the word church and a congregation of people, because it's a global church, and how we then take into all those cultures and all those thought processes has been a real challenge for us. So we'll just share some of that over the coming minutes.
So when I think about here, I think the goal of most people is to live a quiet and peaceful life. But that has become a focus on yourself, on me, the I culture, as compared to PNG.
PNG is a warrior country. If you imagine all those tribes living in isolation, the only way they could grow those tribes, because it's very, you know, small, each tribe might be quite small, they raid the neighbouring tribe and steal the wives and women, and that does still happen today, sadly, even though they've classified themselves as a Christian nation. But for them, it's all about the tribe. It's not about me. We've become very me-centred in the West. Out there, it's all about what I can do for the tribe. Even to the point where actually if a tool goes missing from our workshop, but it's been used by somebody to buy food for a member of their tribe who haven't got any food, that's fine. That's not stealing, that's fine, because they're supporting the tribe. And that's quite hard for me with my Western mindset, trying to develop them and grow them and teach them how to do new things. But kingdom culture for us is really about reconciliation of all brothers together in Christ. And it's been fascinating working for Mission Aviation Fellowship, because we are cross-denominational. So again, I don't want to cause any offence here, but we're not Anglican, we're not Baptist, we're not Catholic, we're not Nazarene. We have all of them. And it's been quite a challenge, even within the organisation, to figure out, therefore, what kingdom culture, what church looks like, even within the organisation.
So what I get asked all the time is, what do you do here? It's very much about what your work, your position, your achievement. That seems to be the main focus of the Western Hemisphere.
Whereas in PNG, it's more about where you're from. What's your culture? Who are you? What's it about? Not, you know, what do you do? So it's a very, very different environment. And for us, we find that a real touch of kingdom culture, in that it's, you know, everybody is valued equally for who they are. And that's very different to here. And the focus over there has been very much about everyone is made in God's image. And that's where, kingdom culture, sorry, is very much about, you know, being in God's image and trying to strive to be. You know, the old wristband we all wore when we were younger saying, what would Jesus do? You know, how do we do that? How do we actually present that?
And again, here, I think there's a lot of trust in money, healthcare, and your justice system. Great foundations that have been built on Christian values. But that's not everywhere.
So again, in PNG, there is a huge belief in prayer. They actually have a National Day of Repentance every year. They shut the whole country down. We have bank holidays for all sorts of things, like, you know, because the banks were closed. Over there, it is literally a day of repentance they have. They were the only nation to actually shut the entire country down and declare a day of prayer for COVID. Absolutely amazing. The whole country ground to a halt so that we could all pray for COVID. And now COVID affected us quite differently to many other countries. And we can share about that if you're interested. Come talk to us afterwards. But really, the thing with kingdom culture is that it's about seeking first the kingdom of God. You know, it says in the Lord's Prayer, doesn't it, you know, that the king, his kingdom come. We should be representing his kingdom here. We should be leading and demonstrating his kingdom here. And that's what's so important for us. And we do that through Mission Aviation Fellowship, through flying, as I said earlier. But I just want to share with you a short medevac video. About 80% of the flying we do is medical evacuations. And they come in all shapes and sizes. But this is a lovely one. It's represented. It's actually led by a young boy called Michael, who's about 10 years old. And his father is a pilot in PNG. So we hope you enjoy this.
Was calling for a medevac. He needed to bring a woman who born a baby, but it passed away. Now she was very sick. I was able to go with my dad in with the flight because I was free. It was Saturday. It was very special to see what was happened.
I liked the flight very much
because I like flights with my daddy when I can go in the front. Otherwise, I will get a bit sick. It was a very short flight. It was a very hard trip that he needed to land.
because he needed to just fly between two mountains, and the airstrip was only a little filled and was very short and very thin. When we were there, one man came and he said the passenger was here. We needed to put her on the stretcher. She had a lot of pain and she was sick, so she made like a bit noise from the pain. I didn't like to see that she had so many pain. I rather wanted to see that she was happy. I felt sorry for the woman because she had so many pain and wasn't comfortable when she needed to come here. And it was very hot. But when she went in the plane, it was okay. When we went off, she was like hobbling and everyone was hobbling. And then when we arrived, she was hobbling too from the rough landing. When we came, we were the only people, and then she went to the hospital with the hospital car. I like that, when she could be better. Daddy needs to do other medevac, and I stayed with the lady till the ambulance came to pick her up, and then I went home. Later, we heard that the lady had malaria.
You know, it's really sad to be serving in a country where things like malaria are still incredibly widespread. 80,000 people alone died last year of TB, a fully presentable disease. And part of that actually has come out of COVID, in that when we in the West started talking about vax and no vax and how dangerous the vax was and all that kind of stuff, in PNG, that's all they saw on their mobile phones was the anti-vax. So they all stopped having their vaccinations for some of the most basic diseases that these people are dying of. One of our big missionary doctor friends out there was once asked, you know, so what impact has COVID had? And he said, I really don't care about COVID. We don't have COVID morbidity issues because our average life expectancy is 55. So we don't have those issues. And actually, you know, 80,000 people died of TB, so why am I worried about COVID? But we did end up with situations where we couldn't even get funding. Because everyone was focused on supplying masks and supplying bits to do with COVID, and we couldn't even get anaesthetic for one of the local hospitals, which is really sad. But a little more about some of the accident. Caroline alluded earlier to the fact that when we went out there as missionaries, we took some stuff that we didn't intend to take as missionaries.
So the missionaries got people to cover up. Traditionally, they didn't really wear clothes. I mean, we're talking about penis gourds and some feathers, maybe a grass skirt. So the missionaries got people to wear clothes. In the highlands, that has become very much you need to wear long, covered-up tops. So it was an unintended export.
The missionaries also gave out free bush knives, free tools. They did all the right things to try and help the nation develop. What's ended up is we've ended up with a cargo cult within some of the villages. So that means if you're living on the side of the road in your village and the truck goes past with a 40-foot container on and it breaks down on the side of the hill, that's a gift from God. So you can go and take everything out of the container and do what you like with it. And that's genuine. It's quite incredible. You know, so it affects cost of materials and shipping and all that kind of stuff, but totally unintended. The intention was we'll give the guys a bush knife because they're using a stone axe, which doesn't work very effectively, so we'll give them a nice metal axe or a nice metal bush knife.
And now the tourists come scantily clad in their strappy tops and their bikinis, and the culture kind of, it's a bit, well, they're a bit disgusted with us, really. So the pastors have to be the most traditional. Our national pastor at the church we go to has got four girls. They're not allowed to wear trousers. That is a step too far. I mean, it says that in the Bible, doesn't it?
And again, you know, the tourists now come and they want the tribal costumes. They want the tribal dances. You know, they want people to do their national things. So again, the nation's really confused because they were told all these, you know, because the dances are war dances, okay? We actually went to a show last year, what's called the Goroka Show. It's an international show where around 200 different tribes from across the nation come, and they all present themselves in their traditional costumes, and they stamp around, and they dance, and they do their war dance. I mean, at the end of day two, the police have to shut it down because they started fighting. You know, but it's a reality. It's what they're used to.
So we don't want to give you the answers as to what kingdom culture is. What we really want to do is make you think today. What is kingdom culture? How much is our own culture that we're exporting, and how much is actual Jesus' kingdom? He talked about the church. I will build my church, the ecclesia, the ruling body, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But he talked about kingdom so much more. Most of his parables were, the kingdom of God is like this. When he did miracles, it was often, have faith, the kingdom of God is near. It's breaking through. So to think about what kingdom culture is, obviously, it's about Jesus, it's about the word of God. That's where we look for our answers. But having been out of our own culture, we now see it with different eyes. I think when you're immersed in your own culture, you don't see it like a fish doesn't see water.
So we're just going to share a short video again, just I don't want you to have to listen to me all the time. And this is from Pastor Famiok. You'll hear a bit of a local language, but it will be translated for you, I promise. And Pastor Famiok comes from what's known as the Min territory. And we have a pilot and planes based out in Telefor Min. Now, the Min people were one of the last to receive Christianity. It took 30 years of missionaries going there. And the first were attacked, they were oppressed. The first people that declared they'd become Christians were persecuted. But eventually, one of their big men, one of their tribal leaders, really discovered the gospel and really got changed. And as a result, the whole nation, the whole of that Min area has now changed. But again, sometimes it's only skin deep.
Good morning, Pastor Famia. Yes. You ate in one long black vada.
Yes.
You've been looking face long, you long bella time.
Yes. Sometimes me walk in 18 walk, and sometimes me walk mission one time.
You walk mission one time. So you part of one and mission.
Me coordinating walk long. PUPNG, MBU, Min Baptist Unions.
Yes.
Me coordinating walk long. Min Baptist Unions. 3.5 Miracle Team, Sundown, Easy Peak, na Indonesia.
Now you stop Long Wiebeck because you must go on tap Long Hagen. You pull a walking one, pull a big, pull a meeting Long Hagen. And one kind meeting.
Meeting and long, the PUPNG executive meeting. Me by one present him some report. All the congregation from me, from Min, all the half long, plus the 12 plus association and plus the 28,000 all man made. Me go out from all the association, 12 plus association, long walking training. Me walking one plus training, and if my name is so, me one plus new plus reversion, and the pulpit walks up. How by me ready, more man ready, come back for Jesus.
And pulpit workshop. Yeah,
pulpit workshop.
I'm nice pillar something, long line him. Is the gospel, long man and Mary.
Plan the pastor, you know, look out in pulpit, or time me walking this training. Plan the pastor, it's time him. Plan the visit, it's time him. Plan the man Mary, or walk, it's time him. Close to, or same 150 plan.
Yeah.
Man Mary. Only turning bells. Now me training more than 1,277 or man Mary me training more than this. No concert making work.
Na you kalap long this la palos long MF ino anu gini you kalap long MF long wanam
yeah no got way MF taso
MF taso no got nada fella way
yeah no got no plorot
entro
because extra plom me mi cross na stop so me must sacrifice na rusin life for me na come of Vivek na me must find him road long go and tablo kalap long MF long go and tablo again na biti I kalap long kanu moto boat na mikamlo pagwi waterfront na kisimka na kamlo vive.
So you come back long Vivek or you come back long Blackwater?
Yeah, I'm suppose all your penny was sleep long mirror Blackwater, me by coming go to Blackwater. Suppose a string pass yet, but me come back again here.
Long Vivek.
Na fan him road go.
Come back long telephone me, you know good plan to mask.
Yeah, telephone me, me come and buy close to one block week, walk about. Wow. I was in Mira Pumpinis Nag or Mira before young play, yes, we can walk up.
So I'm easy more, come on Vivek, kiss him car, go long parkway, kiss him canoe, now go and tap long black button.
Yes, M.
Pastor Famiak, me like shake hand person, now all the best, God bless, yes, God bless for your trip and tap long hagen, now look you will sample at them behind.
Yes, God bless you.
Good pillar.
God bless.
The good news is that the airstrip was open when he went back. Unfortunately, the airstrip's closed again, this time as a result of some kidnappings. 12 girls were kidnapped about a week ago. They have now been returned, but at the moment we will leave the airstrip closed. And this is one of the really difficult things we have to fight against. In that situation, we can't risk putting a pilot and a plane on the ground. In Indonesia last year, one of our pilots landed there and they set fire to the plane and took the pilot hostage. And it's really, really difficult when you're trying to minister and to support people who don't have any other support network. As he indicated there, you know, those 200 airstrips, very often we're the only people that fly into those airstrips as MAF. And we only have 10 planes and 15 pilots to make that work. And we do have things that go wrong, and it's really, really difficult. But what we also wanted to do was just also look at some of the clash of cultures that we've seen since we've been there.
So the white missionaries have got old, have gone home, and it's now down to people like Pastor Famiak to disciple the nation. We do our best with discipling those around us and with facilitating transport, but there is still in the villages it's a very poor situation for women. Polygamy is their tribal culture. A man can have many, many wives, like maybe 8. He buys them with pigs. So you'll have an older man. His 8th wife might be like 16, 14, something like that. And the elder wives are mean to the younger wives. The women have to go out in the traditional culture to give birth alone in the bush. Women's blood is considered such bad witchcraft that men won't go near it. They also, in the hospitals, they don't like the women being looked at, so most married women will not be allowed to go to hospital for women things, which is why we do most of our medevacs are women that have got into difficulties in labour. So the difference in the culture, kingdom culture, is marriage. That is the, you know, one man, one woman. That's what it says in my Bible. The culture here is changing. It's not so much that anymore, is it? So now we've got the confusion the other way, coming home. Things are different here in the 4 years since we've left.
And there are other issues. So whilst cannibalism has been banned in the country, for some of the tribes, the honour of the dead was to eat them. So how do you take that and then say, okay, but as Christians, we're going to bury your dead? You know, it's the only country in the world where it's actually law to bury your dead. It's the only way they could try and resolve it. So it's illegal to do anything other with your dead than bury them, which is quite interesting because it means that actually as expats, we can no longer be buried there because when you're buried somewhere, your tribe has a claim on that piece of land. So now, even if you've worked there all your life, and some of our missionaries that we know have worked there for 35, 40 years, can no longer be buried in the place where they've served because they have a claim to the piece of land. There are initiation ceremonies. So there is in the Sepik region, I have one member of my team who comes from that area, and he has scars down his back from what's called the crocodile cult. They revered their crocodiles. And he's quite a young man. So Christianity was in the Sepik way before he was born, but he was still went through the initiation ceremony within the setup within the tribe in order to have scarring that makes him look like a crocodile. But clearly, obviously, kingdom culture is more about showing love for one another, and it's us trying to get people to understand, to get above and beyond those basic instincts they have and those things that they've grown up with.
Sangoma is witchcraft. So we had a rich man die last year in Mount Hagen, where we live. He owned a trucking company. He had assimilated Western culture and put on weight with, you know, too much fat, too much salt. And he died of a heart attack. But because there was no reason in the cultural mind for him dying at a youngish age, they accused 8 women of witchcraft and tortured them till one of them confessed. This is the kind of culture. Sometimes people say that the missionaries, they went out there and they, you know, ruined a perfect idyll. It wasn't it like that. They managed to stop cannibalism. We're doing our best to re-educate them about witchcraft. But some missionaries say there's no such thing as witchcraft. That is totally ignored. They have seen the effects of witchcraft. So the scientific approach doesn't really work. We have churches that will pray about who the witch is. So it's all about getting the gospel culture out there, looking at our Bibles together and working out, okay, this is my culture, this is your culture. What does the Bible say?
And, So, again, this is about that sort of whole education thing. We've heard tales of people who were buried because they'd stopped talking. Still breathing, but stopped talking. Because they don't understand the difference. And so for us, that again is about, you know, for me, as the missionaries have left, there's a real need for proper discipleship out there. You know, the missionaries have gone in, they've converted everyone, and as we saw earlier, Pastor Damiok is now leading that church there. But his knowledge and his experience and his understanding of kingdom culture, what the Bible truly says, is not wrong, but it comes with all of his history and all of his tribe's history behind it. And so we're just seeking to spend as much time with our teams out there and in the villages and tribes we go to share as much as we can. You know, there's a real need for the Bible. Over COVID, we couldn't buy Bibles. Believe it or not, there was no way of shipping Bibles into PNG. We actually ran out last August. And one of the things we do is on our planes, we have a Bible box ministry. We had 4,500 Bibles eventually arrive in May. And within the first week, our chief pilot said that he sold 93 Bibles. There is a real hunger for the gospel out there. But what we need to do is get that hunger of the gospel into their hearts and minds so they understand truly what the gospel means.
We've really noticed that the culture here, just in this last 4 years, now seems to be anti-Christian. I was reading yesterday about somebody who's been thrown out of teaching in a school because she shared something on Facebook about not teaching transgender issues in a primary school. I mean, the culture here is changing, right?
So what we want you to do is go away and think about it. We're going to share one last video with you from a lady in Telefonin, who pastors women's mission. And then Caroline's going to share with you some God stories about what we see God do when we're working on the front line.
Thank you. Today I'm going to Tomorrowville and spend Easter weekend with the people around the border area, and I'm looking forward to go. My name is Kom Neksep, and I'm from Terefumin, and I live in a remote area where MEF is the only source of making our ministry possible for us to go out every 6-7 times a year to bring good news to the women, to encourage women and children. Yes, spend Easter weekend with them, and also helping the women out there to form the women's association executive, helping them to elect the new executives ready for the women's conference in Eliptomin. MEF Barus is the only plan that saved the Terefumin people from the beginning up until now, and I trust MEF. There is no way without MEF. And MEF has been here ever since when I was a little girl up until now, and I really thank God for the MEF. Believe that this women's network, women's ministry will continue because of MEF, and to help the other women up in the remote areas.
Just before Caroline shares, I really want to share this. We run a ministry which is a third-party organisation. So MAF is what we call an enabler. We fly the planes, but the missionaries come to us and ask us what to do, how to get somewhere. They have their mission. We've had a mission organisation we've been working with, which is actually going out into the tribes and trying to negate Sanguma, trying to teach people not to beat their wives, not to try and treat their wives equal, and this has been a part of it. You know, next year it looks like that ministry is not going to happen because we can't get funding for it. Because over here, we can't get funding for something that's totally women-focused. Okay? It's really sad. So when you're thinking about your culture, think about not just our own context, but try and think a bit more globally.
Been a bit heavy, so we wanted to leave you with some God stories. Part of the reason we went out is to see the hand of God move. We wanted to see the miracles that we'd read about. So I want to tell you about a couple. So first of all, Dave, if you remember his story from when we went out, he had a life rethink after almost dying of sepsis. He's had asthma all his life and had sepsis because of pneumonia, was in intensive care for a week, came out, and in his recovery, he decided we're going to work for MAF and PNG, which was a bit of a shock. But we went to Australia for him to get some more asthma meds in November. He blew the first normal breathing test of his life. I mean, that is just amazing. So we've seen angelic protection. My friend Annette went for a walk with a couple of our colleagues up the hill behind us. She was carrying a bag. You don't carry bags or phones. But anyway, she had a bag, just had a water bottle in it. But somebody jumps out of the bush, swings a machete at her head and grabs the bag. She's knocked to the ground. She has a tiny little bruise on her shoulder. That is all. Our country director goes to the village elders, and the gospel is preached in that village. She ends up at this day where they're preaching the gospel and the village is saying sorry and giving fruit. She ends up holding hands all afternoon with the guy that tried to kill her. I mean, it's amazing. My friend Kim, she's an AOG missionary that comes to my Tuesday Bible study. They were driving down, like, basically there's one road. She was driving down this road to get to one of her churches. And her husband, you don't stop at Rascal Hill, it's notorious. But her husband gets held up at gunpoint at Rascal Hill. He says, in the name of Jesus, and the gun barrel falls off and he's able to put his foot to the floor and drive out, leaving the guys with their mouths open. I mean, it's the stories that we've read about, but I'm glad it wasn't me. Thank you for your prayers. We really, really value your prayers.
Yeah, the work we do, we always say we couldn't do without people like you supporting us. We know there are a few here that support us financially, but more in prayer. You know, what we do is a bit crazy at times. It's kind of up and down. And we're just so grateful for those that read our newsletters and pray for us on a regular basis. And if you're interested in more of what we've shared today, do come speak to us afterwards, and we'll hand over. And sorry we took a little bit long.
Mm-hmm, Dave.
Let's show Alison and Andrew's appreciation for that wonderful presentation. I just wanted to say there were a few things. I made a few notes as you were talking, because I was really encouraged, because actually I don't know whether I picked it up correctly, but I sensed a little bit of nervousness around talking around denominations and things like that. But I think I speak for at least a large percentage of this parish, if not for all of it, where actually that's okay, because we are an Anglican church and we love being an Anglican church. But actually, hopefully over the last few years, we've been thinking not so much about being an Anglican church, but actually being a kingdom, gospel, culture church. And those things about reconciliation, valuing everybody, seeking first the kingdom, marriage, showing love for one another, discipleship, gospel, culture, that's really spoken into what we've been focusing on over the last few years. So thank you for that, because we don't want skin-deep Christianity here. And I think sometimes our denominational strengths help us to sit very comfortably with skin-deep Christianity, but hopefully that's something that we're working on, isn't it? So I think what would be really great is not only to thank you for speaking so wonderfully into the sort of focus that we hope will continue here at St Andrews, but also gives us a real insight into what life is like in PNG. And before you go and sit down, I wonder if a few people would like to come up as we pray for Dave and Caroline as they continue to enjoy the service with us and stay for some fellowship. And hopefully an opportunity for you to speak to them further, because I'm sure that was just a little fraction of what you could have shared with us. So let's pray for them to start with. And if you'd like to come up and lay hands on them, we might just ask you to stand. Sorry, putting you right there front and centre, but it just makes it easier logistically for people to gather around you. That's the only reason we do that. And Simon, Richard, maybe someone from the congregation might like just to pray for you as we ask God to continue to bless you in what is, I'm sure, a very rich and fruitful area of ministry, but also, as we've seen, quite a challenging one in many ways. Let's pray.
Father God, we thank you for speaking into our situation, so the situation that Dave and Caroline find themselves in. The challenges may seem very different here to what they are over there, but as they have highlighted, our culture is changing, and in a way that perhaps we find difficult and uncomfortable. So we thank you for their encouragement to us this morning. We thank you for their word into our situation. You, Father, proclaiming your word into our midst from somewhere that's very different to us. And we thank you for that this morning. And Lord, we send Dave and Caroline back to PNG with our love and our blessing and our continued prayer for the work that you have them do there. Anoint them afresh as they return shortly. And we pray that they will continue to see the fruits of the ministry you have given them. We thank you for them. In the name of the one who binds us together, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. I might just ask Charlie to take us back to that answer for our question this week. Although we live in vastly different cultures, that essence of what we're doing in different ways, albeit here compared to PNG, but certainly seeking to find ways in which we can encourage those around us to